Good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us on this Palm Sunday. And if you're a guest, and if you're not a Catholic, let you know we don't do this every Sunday. Only one Sunday a year, Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. We give to the blessing of the palms, processions, and this extended reading of the Passion narrative. The times for all of our Holy Week liturgies are in the bulletin, so you're invited to take one home with you. Also, extended times for confessions. It's also on the doors of the church and on the website. And I ask that every family set aside at least one night of what we call the Triduum, three holy days of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday for the Easter Vigil, to come and take part in these very significant events of our time of prayer together during Holy Week. The church is going to be cram-packed next Sunday at 10 o'clock. Guarantee. But let's fill it also on Thursday night and Friday, Saturday night as well. I'd like to say that it's happening on Harvard. So this week, let's have the people driving up and down the street look over and say, man, those Catholics, what are they up to again? The parking lot was full last night and it's full again tonight. I also again encourage you to reach out to people that you personally know who have no church home. Invite them here for Holy Week. And reach out personally, people that you know, for whatever reason, or the people who are Catholic and not active in their faith, invite them to be here for Holy Week and for Easter. We began the time of Lent on Ash Wednesday with our foreheads marked with crosses made from the burnt palm branches of last year's Palm Sunday. And I ask you to take the palms that you have received today, take them home, put them in a place of prominence as a visible sign and reminder that we proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and King. And then bring them back before the beginning of Ash Wednesday next year to be burned, to adorn our foreheads again for another season of Lent. For with that mark of those of ashes, we publicly declare that we are sinners in need of God's mercy and forgiveness found only in Jesus Christ. And during the last now nearly 40 days, through our prayer, our fasting, our acts of charity, and our penance, we have desired to enter Holy Week with hearts and minds made pure. For today, in what is officially called Palm Sunday, the Passion of the Lord, we begin again what we call the Paschal Mystery of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In this week, from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, we are reminded of, again, of the heart and soul of the Christian message. That's why we refer to this time as Holy Week. We're also reminded that this heart and soul of the Christian message is also the most difficult aspect of the life in Christ to embrace and to live out. Those two words, Paschal Mystery, the word Paschal comes from the Latin translation of the Hebrew word Pesach. And Pesach is the word that we also translate as Passover, in which God delivering the people of ancient Israel out of slavery in Egypt and bringing them into freedom. And the word mystery, don't think of it as a secret to be revealed. Rather, think of it as it originally was intended in the Greek, meaning profound reality. So the Paschal Mystery is the profound reality of God delivering us from death to a new life in Jesus Christ. And that's what Holy Week is all about. All the prayers, all the liturgies are all about. Now, as many of you know, I was on retreat in January, and our retreat director was Father Casey Beaumier. He's a Jesuit priest, originally from North Dakota, now teaching at Boston College. And he refers to Holy Week not so much as the Paschal Mystery, he refers to it as the Paschal Path, the pathway. It begins, as we heard at the beginning of the Mass, of Jesus is at the top of his game. That triumphal entry into Jerusalem, surrounded by faithful disciples, ready to crown him king. That's what all those palm branches, all those hosannas in the highest are all about. But notice how quickly it changes, how the floor just drops out. Jesus goes quickly from having to proclaim the gospel to having now to defend it. And before the week is over, Jesus has been isolated, arrested, in agony, defeated, and dead. And then raised to new life in the resurrection. In doing so, Jesus clears a pathway for us to be delivered from death to new life. This is the enduring message not only of Holy Week, it is also the church's proclamation of the good news. It's the heart and soul of the Christian message. And anyone who dares to be called a Christian must walk this path. That's why this Paschal path, this Holy Week, is difficult to live out as a disciple of Jesus. The difficulty being is that it's easy to say that Jesus has died for our sins, but we must also ask ourselves, and what does that mean? How do we live that out in our daily lives? The challenge of Holy Week, to make this Paschal mystery, this Paschal path real in our daily lives. For what Holy Week is telling us again is that our lives have absolute meaning. From the moment of our conception to the moment of our death, every moment has meaning, especially the moments of suffering. Because of what the person of Jesus, God the Son, the Word made flesh to dwell among us, what He has done for us. Because of what Jesus does for us in the gift of the Eucharist, the body and blood, soul and divinity. Because of what Jesus does for us in the gift of the ordained priesthood, both of which we will commemorate on Holy Thursday, our lives have absolute meaning. Because of what Jesus does for us in the gift of His passion and death on the cross that we commemorate on Good Friday, our lives have absolute meaning. Because what Jesus does for us in the resurrection on Easter Sunday, our lives have absolute meaning. And that's what we're challenged with during Holy Week. We are to know this Paschal path in its entirety. We are formed along the way in the church's liturgical year. As I've said before, every year there is an Advent, a Christmas, an Ash Wednesday, a Lent, a Holy Week, an Easter, a Pentecost, an ordinary time. And as we travel along every year, that repetition, that participation in it, we are formed by that. To know where we are on the Paschal path. Because right now, at this point in your life, some of you most likely are at the top of your game. You're like Jesus coming into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. In the words of a song from the days of my youth, for some of you right now, the future's so bright, I gotta wear shades. You just added yourself, by the way. Those of us of a certain age of that song. Maybe that's where you are right now in the Paschal path. Or maybe where you are is that you're isolated. You're in pain. You're in agony. You're at the rock bottom. You're defeated. You're facing death. And the great difficulty is seeing that we're not abandoned by God in such moments. That's why we hear Jesus cry out in agony, my God, why have you abandoned me? Or maybe we are somewhere in between. For wherever we are on that Paschal path, Holy Week challenges to see that Jesus has cleared the path for us. He has gone ahead of us. He is in solidarity with us, no matter where we are. No matter where we are on this path, remember, it all leads to the same place. Easter. Resurrection. New life. And eternal life in Jesus Christ.